Amen.
I've enjoyed this camp immensely. And I have rejoiced in the blessing of God that's been ours richly to enjoy. I looked over this group tonight and I saw you with your hands up worshiping God, and I saw a many with their hands up that did not have them the first night. There's a joy of the Lord, a camp meeting in your heart, and I'm glad. This has been a wonderful week. I don't know when I've been in a meeting, but I've enjoyed it more than I have this. The fellowship, the spirit of this camp, and the harmony in which all the workers and everyone is working has been outstanding. I've just enjoyed it. I've never been on a camp, I don't believe, when I saw more harmony and more willing workers than I have on this campground this time. We really enjoyed it immensely. Your camp director and our CA president, Brother Jackson, is doing a splendid job. He's done a wonderful job. We appreciate it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Watt Walker, I nicknamed him, and I Brother Walker, our vice president, has done a splendid job, and we've enjoyed so much sharing fellowship and working with him. And this choir, hallelujah, I've enjoyed this. Sister Roberts, an excellent job. Brother Tom has been teaching in the morning service, and we've enjoyed this. And of course, the cooks, I don't have to say anything. You can tell by looking. And we've just had a great time. It's been wonderful, all the fellowship. And I believe I've seen the best sportsmanship on the grounds of all the games. I didn't stay in the dorms. I may be reporting a little bit too big a report, but I wasn't in the dormitory. But we've had a great we've had a great time. I mean a great time. They say they've been going to sleep right readily. The campers is the one who told me that. It wasn't just that report cut from a one-sided report. Amen. You heard about the little girl that come running in from school and said, "Mama, did I sure enough come from a monkey? I heard today I came from a monkey." She said, "You know, I don't know. I don't know your husband, your daddy's people that well." It could be. I'm not all that acquainted with them. Down in our country, there's a colored lady went to an insurance agent and she said, "I'd like to get some fire insurance on my husband." Well, she said, the insurance man said, "I've got life insurance and I've got health insurance." She said, "I don't need that, I want fire insurance." She said, "Well," he said, "I'm sorry, lady, but we've got 20 pay life and we've got plain life and we've got accident insurance, but I don't have fire. What do you want fire insurance for?" "Because he's done been five times lately. I need some fire insurance." "Well, I'm glad whatever you need when you come to God, you can have it." He has every need in our lives. Every need is medical. We've enjoyed the blessing of God so immensely. There's a real joy to have with us tonight in this service your district superintendent, Brother Haskell Rogers, whom we esteem highly and have enjoyed working with in the ministry. Brother Rogers, we're delighted to have you come and visit our camp tonight. And also, I met our new secretary treasurer, Brother Askins. We're glad to see him, and God bless him in his work for God. It's good to make his acquaintance, Brother Homer Goodman, one of our old friends. We're glad to see you again tonight. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're here to have camp meeting.
Amen.
We're here to believe God for revival tonight. And I hope that this will be the greatest night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want heaven to come down. I want him to get the glory. Lives to be touched of God. What I've been seeing in this altar is not a superficial, sensational, emotional something. I've seen tears of repentance and real digging in and getting a hold of God. And I'm glad for this. Our dedication in these altars have not been surface, and I've realized this, and I'm thankful for it. We've not preached along that line. We've been digging right down. And again tonight, I want to follow the same line. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to read those. I'd like to share the Word of God from the 75th division of the Psalm tonight. Psalms chapter 75. I'd like to read it to you. Psalms chapter 75, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly the earth and all of its inhabitants thereof and dissolve. I bear up the pillars of its ceiling. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And to the wicked, lift not your horn. Lift not your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. No greater truth found in God's word. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and it poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and shall drink them. There is a cup in the right hand of the Lord. If you'd like to read with me further tonight, I want to read from the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 20, and I want to read in your hearing. Let's begin reading at verse 20. Have you found it? Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons worshiping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and another on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on the right hand and on the left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. In the 18th chapter of John, verse 11, Jesus said, my Father hath given me the cup. Shall I not drink it? Jesus came to the Last Supper with his disciples, and he held a cup in his hand. It's strange that the Son of God would have so much to say about a cup. The cup of communion, he said, this is the cup of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. And then in the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, again we can read in verse 42. And I want to read this because I feel it's that important. Chapter 26 of the book of Matthew, verse 42. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass from me, may not pass away from me except I drink it. Thy will be done. Oh, my Father, if there's no other way but this cup, then I ask that your will be done. I want to talk to you tonight about the cup of the Lord. The cup of the Lord. Every person in this tabernacle tonight knows what a cup is. Cup of the Lord, I want you to bow your head. Let's ask the presence of the King of Glory to walk among us tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this camp and for the moving of the Spirit of God.
for the windows of heaven that is open over the service. We thank you for the hand of God that's brought refreshing to the heart, for these that have been baptized of the Holy Ghost, for these that have found Jesus Christ real and glorious to their lives. Now tonight, may we make a complete dedication, surrender to God. May the will of God be paramount above everything else. Oh Lord, we would ask that you open heaven's windows tonight. Let floodgates of glory be opened over this tabernacle. Baptize believers in thy spirit and lead us tonight, and we'll praise you for it. Amen. A great deal is said in your Bible about a cup. In the 116th Psalm, David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? What can I give God? What can I do for all the blessing he has bestowed upon me? And David answered his own question by saying, this will I do. I will take of the cup of his salvation. Hallelujah. When I realize that God offers you the privilege of drinking from his cup, every man, woman, boy, or girl has the opportunity to drink of the cup of salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Now the Lord will let you drink from the cup of salvation, but he never lets you drink till you open the door. It's up to you to open the door. God never saves a man against his will. God never, never saves a man until he wills to be saved. He stands at the door, he knocks, he invites to come in, but it's only when you open the door. It's wonderful to me to know that God in his marvelous love has given me opportunity to drink of that water of everlasting life from the cup of salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To his wonderful name. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the voice of God was heard crying among the trees, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? It was not the voice of a policeman. It was not the voice of a tyrant. It was the voice of a father crying for a wayward son. Adam, I want to find you. When Cain had missed the boat and had offered the wrong sacrifice, he said, Cain, I don't want to punish you. I'm not here to punish you. There's a sin offering crouching at the door. You've got an opportunity. Isaiah said, I'm fed up of your tithe and your religious feast. I'm tired of your new moons. I'm tired of your sacrifices. I'm tired of your pretense of religion. Away with it. It stinks. I don't want to see it. And then he turned around in the next verse and said, I've got ready to wipe you out. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah, young people, 1972 camp. He's holding out the cup of salvation. Come and drink to the full. Praise the Lamb for that. But there is another cup. 1 Psalms chapter 75 says, there is a cup in the hand of the Lord. And the Bible said it's full of wine, it's full of judgment, it's full of wrath. And once that cup reaches its full, the Bible said he'll pour it out upon the wicked. When men refuse the cup of salvation, there is the cup of judgment.
Amen.
The Bible says in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. God said, all right, they're going to hold off just a little while. Judgment's going to linger. God said, their iniquity has not yet reached its full. There's people in America that believe they're getting by with sinning. They believe they can live loose, indulge in sex and dope and drunkenness. And God doesn't see it. God turns his head. God doesn't. When the cup reaches its full, judgment comes, and there is a cup of judgment. Say amen. Amen. I looked at the Amorites here. The Bible said the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And God put up with that bunch that rebelled against God's chosen people. They overran the camp of God's people. They ignored the Israelites and refused their entrance. But 400 years later, God said, Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 20, exterminate them, wipe them out, don't leave over them. God, there comes a time, Brother Superintendent, when the iniquity of God, the wrath of God, reaches its full. I looked in the Word of God, and Pharaoh hardened his heart that would not let Israel go. I saw him stand in defiance. He acted like he could tell Moses what to do. And Moses had nothing but a stick God drew on the side of a mountain. But all of a sudden, God got tired of fooling with your old boy. And he said, Moses, I want you to offer the fleecy lamb and sprinkle your doorposts and borrow everything you can. Why did God say, borrow it, you won't have to pay it back? Because the Egyptian had stripped the Israelites. He said, go get all you can back, for we're going to leave here tonight. Glory to God. You think about how much those Jews could get. Look what a Jew can get when he don't know it's his last time to pray. When you know, when the Jew knows you won't have to pay it back, I'll guarantee you they made some bargains that night. Hallelujah. Get ready, we're going out. And Pharaoh thought, my brother, I can handle this situation. And he hardened his heart and he pursued him. But the wheels ran off of his chariot. And God knows how to pull the wheels off of your chariot. About the time you're willing and hardening your heart against God.
That's right.
Reuben looked on his father's face. I don't know what all was involved in this. I don't know whether there was incest or perversion. I do not know. Your Bible is a modest book, but God never overlooks perversion and incest and sin. You don't practice unholy practices and get by in the eyes of God. Reuben looked on his father nakedness, and the Bible simply states it that way. I do not know all of it's involved. But 43 years later, when the trembling hand of Jacob raised its hand out of that bed and reached over from that cane to lay his hand on for the birthright, he ignored Reuben and said, Reuben, you're unstable as water. You cannot excel. He said, we're going to lay our hand on Judah, for out of him shall come and deliver. Hallelujah. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. Glory to God, the king's coming. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. There is a cup from the hand of God. It reaches its full. Joseph sold him. Joseph was sold by his brothers. And they went back to the old man and told Pappy Jacob, our brother was eaten no out of the wild animals. They dipped his coat. You know the story. They dipped the coat in many colors and said, we found it, Daddy Jacob. We found it, Papa. And perhaps he's eaten. They lied to the old man and their eyes stacked up and it looked like they'd gotten by. It looked like the dad believed it. He grieved over it for a little while. It wasn't long till Joseph was not a man in the family and looked like sin had been covered. But be sure your sin will find you out. You don't cover sin. Sin unrepentant. You either bring your sin to an altar prayer or you take it to the judgment bar of God. 22 years later, great big grown men crawled on their knees and crawled up the steps in Pharaoh's court to bow before a man and beg for a few kernels of corn. And that spirit-filled young man was clothed in an Egyptian robe. His name was Joseph. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to
God. God knows how. There is a cup in the hand of the Lord. I could go on all night on this, the judgment of God. Nebuchadnezzar stood that day and talked about great Babylon, none like it. He put it in each other, commanded everybody to bow to him. His image. But God says promotion neither cometh from the east or the west. And the bigness of men does not impress God. God's not impressed with puny politicians or kings or nobles. He still sits king forever. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
One day, boasting, proud, arrogant, Nebuchadnezzar settled high on his throne. And he said, whosoever doesn't bow to this idol, I'll cast him to a den of lions. I'll cast him to the fiery furnace. But a few years later, the iniquity and the cup reached its full, and his mind snapped, and he lost his senses. And the same great, high, noble king that lived in a royal throne, his mind was gone, and he was wandering in the pasture like an ox, and eating grass like an ox of the slough. Let me tell you something. One little touch of God can bring all the pride and the arrogance out of us. Amen.
Amen.
I see people slut themselves. David said, I saw the wicked spread themselves like a green bay tree, but they're waiting to be cut down. The lamp of the wicked should be put out. God Almighty doesn't know being shot or getting to perish. God does not know this kind. He that exalted himself shall be amazed.
That's right.
This happens whether you're a CA or whether you're a pastor or a preacher or a member of a district. He that exalted himself shall be amazed.
Amen.
One little blood clot the size of an English pea can take your life or make you to where you'll never know another thing the rest of your life. It takes a very small thing to bring us down. Just say amen.
Amen.
Worry is boasting. Worry is arrogance. Worry is pride. Worry is that that defies God. There is a cup in the hand of God. Your Bible says that the wrath of God, once it reaches its full, is poured out. I could go on and on and talk to you about in the Bible, Haman's, when he hanged on the gallows, and Belshazzar and Sodom. We could name on and on. The Jews stood and said, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. But from that day to this, well, the worst curse has fallen on that family, of any human family. Driven from pillar to post in 1918, God must have brought about a world war in order to prepare Palestine for the Jew. For after the war in 1918, England promised Palestine she'd get her land back. She didn't give it till 7 years later, but the World War No. 2 prepared the Jew for Palestine. God first prepared Palestine for the Jew. They prepared the Jew for Palestine. And they moved back home. And the hand of God's in the land of the king's about to come. And we need to get ready. I want to hurry tonight. Bounding Sister Zebedee, I want to talk to you about the third cup tonight. Sister Zebedee came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got two boys. One of them's name is James and the other one is John. And when you get to your throne, I'd like for one of them to sit on your right hand and another on the left. I've heard preachers all these years accuse Sister Zebedee, but not me. I like to see some moms and dads that would like to have their sons and daughters next to the throne of the Lamb. I've only got two girls, and they're the sweetest that you've ever seen. I can't help it because they're so good looking. But I used to go pick them up at school. I used to go to school and pick up those two little blonde-headed girls. And some of the ugliest little brats you've ever seen in your life would fall out of that church, out of that schoolhouse door. And I'd sit there looking at them and think, my, them kids are something. That's a bunch of brats. And all of a sudden, two of the sweetest little girls you've ever seen. And if I had my way, I'd say, Lord, let Jaquita sit on your left hand and let Lanita sit on your right hand. And if I didn't have to tell you how old I am, I'd say, let that granddaughter sit on his lap. Hallelujah. Amen. I see mothers that want their daughters to be Miss America or Miss Odessa or Miss Seminole or Miss something else. God forbid I'd rather mine be Miss Holy Ghost baptized, spirit-filled, talking in tongues, living for God with an old and godless soul, than be everything the devil can crown with.
That's right.
See, man? I see dads that swell up and thrill when their boy can kick a piece of pigskin between two poles down there. There's no trouble getting it over there. Just take it down and throw it over. See, man? Yeah. I've seen dads miss prayer meeting also. Don't watch their little boy knock a blue piece of horsehide stuffed on the inside down by the nearly first baseline. But I've got news. I've met a few saints of God that wanted their sons to be nearer the heart of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Brother Skaggs back here is pastor my family, and we were talking about it today. He's talking about pastoring my dad. I never remember in my life not one single midweek prayer meeting. Not one. Do I ever remember missing a prayer meeting service in my life when I was growing up? Not one. I said, I never remember one. We danced and shut her down for going to church. Dad worked away from home, took census for the government to try to supplement that farm. There's no way in the world they'd live on it. My dad was too stubborn to move to California with the rest of them and just take the Lord of God. And I'm glad he did. I looked at the crowd that went out there, and I'm so glad I stayed there and got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues, and God called me to preach. But anyway, we went to church. My dad worked away from home. And what anything unusual from Mom, on Wednesday night, we didn't have a preacher. And she'd light up a possum hunting lantern, and we'd start the church at foot, because Dad had the car. It's a mile and three-quarter to a little schoolhouse church, and I'd try to talk her out of it. I'd say, Mom, there's not going to be anybody there. Nobody's going tonight. We'll be anybody. We'll just... She said, there will be when we get there. Glory to God, come on, boys. And God bless you young people. If you've got a dad and mom that wants you to live close to the throne, you've got something to thank God for.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Would you let James sit close to the throne, let John? Jesus said, Sister Zebedee, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. You think it's all glory, and you think it's all fun, and it's all glory. And we're living in a light, fickle age, and I'm hearing a lot in the church. That's a light and fickle dedication. But the way of the cross leads home. Amen. The way of the Calvary and Gethsemane leads to home.
Yes.
Jesus said, are you able to drink the cup that I drink of? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And Sister Zebedee said, Jesus, were able. And Jesus said, you'll be baptized with my baptism. And I've heard preachers preach that baptism of suffering, but I know what Jesus was baptized with, because he was baptized in Jordan by John coming out of the water. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God was given unto him without measure. You can have that baptism. But when you come to his cup, that's a different story. The cup that I drink, shall you not drink it? The cup that I drink, can you drink it? The cup of suffering. I want to ask you something. Jesus turned and said, sure enough, Sister Zebedee, John is going to drink it, and James is going to drink it, but you better study your lesson or you ain't it. And if you're going through with God, it's more than a glamour girl, and it's more than joining CAs. It's doing the will of God regardless of where it takes you. I'm not here to tell you that it's an easy way to heaven. I'm here to tell you it's by the way of the cross. It's the way of consecration. It may take you to the icy lands of Alaska or to the black jungles of Africa. It may take you to the mountains of South America. Wherever it takes you, a cup of God will be a blessing when you drink it.
Amen.
Are you able? Let me ask you tonight. Are you able to drink the cup of God? CAs, are you ready? Young man, are you ready to drink the cup regardless? Are you ready to drink the cup? Now I'm down to it. James Fox's Book of Martyrs says was beheaded. And they took him out. And before they severed his head, James gave his witness, and the accuser that took him out to crucify him or to behead him turned to Christ and asked to let me die with him if it takes it. And they beheaded James and his accuser together. Oh, thank God. I'm glad that I found an answer. James was beheaded. The Bible says he was killed with a sword. Philip was crucified in Helopolis. Matthew was fired with a halibut and met a dash. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Edessa. Mark was dragged to death in the streets of Alexandria. Peter was crucified, and his own request said, crucify. find me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Paul's head was cut off with a sword at the command of wicked Nero. But Paul said, I know nothing. The blood won't get dry on the guillotine, so I'm going to be home with God. Glory to God. Jude was crucified in Edessa. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. Thomas was martyred and thrust through with a sword. Luke was hanged from an olive tree in Greece. Simon Zelotes was crucified in Britain. And John was put in a pot of oil and oil. But he had too much he could control to come out. And God finally put him in the Isle of Patmos. Are you able to drink the cup? It means more tonight than making a little 2-minute consecration. It means going through with God.
That's right.
Take the whole world with Jimmy Jesus. Take the crowd. Let the drunken crowd. Let that crowd that's sex crazed. Let that sinful bunch do what they will. My life is hidden with Christ in God.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm bought with a price.
Hallelujah.
I can tell you the day, I can tell you the time when I made that consecration to God as a young boy, 14 years old. I said, God, regardless of what comes or what goes, regardless of what the rest of the young people do in the church, regardless of what Sister So-and-so does or Brother So-and-so does, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to stay prayed through and talk in tongues every day. And if it means suffering, if it means hardship, if it's pleasant or not pleasant, if it's good or it's not good, I'm planning on going through the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God.
Yeah.
The cup of God. Are you ready to drink it? Are you ready to say, yes, God? I'll surrender to your will. A few years ago, I had a young preacher boy in my church. I never will forget. Jimmy was a good boy. He had a lot of wild ideas. And most of all, young preacher boys did. I had a few. Every once in a while, he'd decide that he was really great. And I like to see a little bit of that in you. I like to see him plan on doing something. Every once in a while, I never will forget. Jimmy went to Bible school in Waxahachie and met a little girl. And I'm afraid to tell you too much about it, but from up north, because you'll know who I'm talking about, and her folks were extremely wealthy. If I called their name, many of you would know because they make some of the largest contributions to the mission there is in the United States. And they're missionary people and they're extremely wealthy people. And she lived in splendor and plenty, had a fine home and a lovely home and everything. But she had all her heart could want. The folks had plenty. She married poor old Jimmy. And he had patent leather shoes. Leather rubbers with feet pat in the ground. Yeah. He had a call to preach, but he didn't have any money. He didn't even have a car. They married and they got an old car. They come by my church and he bought him an old car somewhere in Dallas. Some guy sold it to him for $50. I don't know what he had against it, but he let him have it for $50. And they come rolling into our churchyard. I'll never forget it. And I knew his wife. I knew what kind of a home she was from. They rolled that bridal traffic in, and Jimmy said, Brother Brankle, I've been to Bible school. Do you know of any churches open? I said, I know of one. He said, where is it? I said, it's in Arkansas. He said, tell me about it. I'm ready to go get it. I said, okay. I told him where it was. He drove down to Arkansas way back in the boondocks. I knew it wasn't too good of one, but he said, I will. Oh, only thing I knew, he drove out there in a few weeks. He said, he called me, and I don't know where he got the money to call me. He said, Brother Bradwell, I've got me a church. Come preach to me. I sent him, I'm his pastor, I'll go preach for him. I go down to over in Arkansas and away out in the country, and I found a little house without a bathroom of any kind, not an outdoor, indoor, any kind of door. There wasn't any kind. They had running water, if you really did. There wasn't a hot water heater, there wasn't anything. A little old house, nothing in it. She didn't have a kitchen cabinet. She didn't have a cupboard. They had one mattress that is on the floor, and they fixed them up a little table out of the floor. She didn't have any cooking utensils. She didn't have anything. And I went in, and my heart was touched, and I loved it. So I'm out in this little church. I said, "How's it going, Jimmy?" He said, "I've never felt better in my life." Well, I was just anxious to ask her. I went in the house, I preached that night, and I come home. She said, "Brother Michael, don't you think this is the sweetest place you ever seen?" Last night I made mention of Jesus when he opened paradise and the saints came out and they was resurrected. Why were they beneath? Abel couldn't go to heaven. Abel offered the right sacrifice, but he couldn't go to heaven. The Old Testament saints couldn't have gotten to heaven because every one of them died by faith. And they had a promissory note that the redemption would come. But when Jesus Christ spilled his blood on Calvary's brow and offered his life for ransom, thank God he paid the debt. He could open the prison house and they could sweep into glory. But now the virgin-born Son, God manifested in the flesh, is in a garden with disciples that are sleeping. And he's praying, and while he's praying, his sweat is as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And being in agony, he cried. The Bible speaks of strong crying tears. And Peter spoke of the precious blood of the Lamb. Now the blessed Son of God is underneath an olive tree. I wish the disciples would have stayed awake in the garden. I wish Peter changed his job. People, I wish you would have stayed awake. I'll have to ask the rocks what he said, and I'll have to ask the olive trees what he said. Their eyes were heavy. They were asleep at the most precious hour of their lives. And the Son of God was praying, Oh God, Father, all the wheels of redemption stood still. The Son of God was rasping over a cup. Let this cup pass from me. Let this cup. Peter probably couldn't have seen the cup. John couldn't have seen the cup, but Jesus saw the cup. He was crying, Master, if there's any other way. I do not believe that Jesus Christ was dreading the cross, for I think he would have gladly suffered and bled on the cross. I do not believe that he was flinching from carrying the load up the Golgotha's hill, or neither was he dreading being placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. For I think he who knew no sin, had never known sin, who pleased the Father all times, looked in that cup and saw the sins and the dregs of all mankind. And he who knew no sin was going to become sin that we might be made the righteous.
Thank you, Jesus.
He blotted out the handwriting of your ordinances against us. I think he saw in that cup the drunken son return and beat his own mother's brains out. I think he saw the rapist. I think he saw the drunkard, he saw the vile, the wretched, the ungodly, the wicked, the liar, the thief. He saw the brutal maniac. He saw sin in its worst. He saw the demonic tear the heart of men. Inside of that cup there was something about the Holy Divine Son of God that drew back from the cup and he cried, "Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, I'll drink it if that's what it takes. If it takes that to redeem a fallen Adam's race, I'll pay them that sacrifice." About that time, he arose and said to his disciples, "Sleep on now. Hallelujah, the prayers have been drunk. cup is empty, the sacrifice is ready. And he said to Judas Iscariot, friend, how do you come? When he could call his betrothed friend. And he yielded to the soldiers and said, I've been with you. You can put your swords up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The hour has come when the Son of Man must be crucified. Yonder on Golgotha's brow, he paid the sacrifice for sin and opened the fountain in the house of David, that in this youth camp 1972, every young person can leave here with the joy of God in your soul and your sins are forgiven. He took your sin and made it.
Hallelujah.
I was crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live by faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's the cup. I wish the time would permit. I'd like to talk about the cup of his indignation, which will be poured out without mixture. I'd like to talk to you about the cup of the abominable cup and the hand of the whores, the cup that's full of filthiness, recorded in Revelation 17 of Ecclesiastical Bible. God's talking to us tonight about, are you willing to drink the cup of God? Are you willing to go through with God? Are you willing to pay the price? Regardless of what others do in your community, when you go home from camp and you face the old crowd, are you going to say, I'm different? I'm washed in the blood. My sins are gone. I belong to the family of God. God laid his hand on me. I'm going to heaven. I'm going through with God. It takes something to say, I'm going through. Are you able to drink? I'm wondering in this service tonight, are you going to drink of the cup of your salvation? Are you going to wait and refuse and drink of the wrath of the Lamb? Father, I pray the will of God to be done over this audience tonight. Loose the hold of the enemy tonight. We bind every power that will hinder men from coming to God. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Oh, Holy Spirit. May consecrations be made. May dedications be made. May young men, young women hear the call of God. May this be the night that we'll say yes to God. All absolute surrender. Take the whole world and give it to Jesus. May this be the night of this camp and we'll put it all on the altar. We'll not hold back one thing from God. I ask you, Lord, tonight, but in this meeting, that you'll take us deeper than we've ever been taken. My God, let us drink from that cup of living water. Hallelujah. Make our cups to run over tonight, Lord. Let the joy bells of heaven ring in every soul. Grace the mandalora mashantamora bavori bekeda. Are you man enough? Are you boy enough? Are you girl enough to say yes to God regardless of what it takes? God's laid his hand on my life and I've drawn back from doing the will of God. But tonight I'm going to put it all on the altar. Tonight I'm going through with God. Tonight I'm going to say yes to God. Take the whole world. There may be in this camp someone that's felt the call to preach and you've shrugged it off and you've tried to neglect it, you've tried to shut it. But tonight you'll say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm ready to drink your cup. I'm ready to commune with you. I want you to obey God while the Holy Spirit is moving in the service. And I almost said to camp rather believe on these grounds has been in this altar for salvation or for the baptism. We've had 100% in our altar call. But I'm wondering who would raise your hand and say, Brother Brankle, this message was for me. I need to surrender my life to God. I've not made that absolute surrender. And tonight, I want you to pray with me. Can I see your hand? I see it. God bless you. I see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many more? In the town where I live, I've not been going through with God. I've not been an example of a Christian in deed and conduct. But I need help. And I want to make a surrender to God. I want to touch a God like I've never had. Let me see your hand over mine. I see it and I see it and I see it and I see it. I feel God miserably. I want to stand for God. I want to be willing and I want to be able to drink of the cup of God if it means suffering for him. If it means going oxen of the rest of the crowd, I want to stand alone and lift up the blood the same banner of Christ our King I want to go through. Is there a young man or a young lady God's laid his hand on your life that you feel a call? And tonight you want to put it on the altar and say, God, regardless of where it is, I regardless of what it is, I'll do the will of God. Let me see your hand. I said, God bless you, pal. God bless you. Here's two more. Here's three more. Four more. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I've asked a lot of times to know him in the power of his resurrection. I'm going to stand before you as a speaker tonight and say there's a lump comes up in my throat when I ask to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. It means something to go through with God regardless of what I was doing. It means something to have a touch of God when the rest of the world around you is filled with sin and their minds are continually cesspools of iniquity. I'm going through with God. Let me know him. Let me not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only on such a moment in case of living hell of a whole world, Messiah. I want those of you that mean business with God and you're ready to put it on the altar. I want you to stand to your feet right now. You mean business with God. I mean business tonight. It's not just another routine prayer. I'm planning on building an altar, God. I'm not coming down here just to give a blessing. I'm coming here to make a consecration. I'm coming here to put my feet on the rock. I'm planning on establishing my goings of God. I'm ready to make God some vows. I'm ready to tell him, here's all my life. I belong to you. I'm not my own. I don't know if there's anyone on this camp that's not been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. You've not received your baptism of the Spirit. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism? You don't want to be baptized with the Spirit if you haven't received your baptism. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and come right now. In the name of Jesus, come now. God bless you. If the world haven't been baptized as yet, young people, I'd like to challenge you tonight not leave this altar until every young person is baptized in the Holy Ghost in this altar. Hallelujah. Our line tonight is much smaller than it was the other night. But here's 3, 6, 7 that are going to hold tomorrow, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Ghost that have had a drink from the cup of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Haven't you been refilled this week and you've spoken in tongues? Raise your hands to God. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, that God will go to believe into this altar. I'm going to ask you to come when while you're making a consecration. I want you to first pray me through to the baptism of the Spirit. And I want us to come from the front to the back. And I want you to talk to God about going through with God. Will you come now? All in the building, raise your hands to heaven and start praising him as you go. Lord, and come, Lord, and God, we're coming. I want you to find somebody that needs the baptism. Come, don't leave me to the field. Come on, every young man, every girl, every camper, every individual of this auditorium, I want you to come to God.